بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. In the last session, Ikhwan, we discussed the affair of the Prophet ﷺ, that which took place after the initial period of the revelation of the Quran. We said that what is popularly mentioned is that there was a 3-year period of da'wah that was known as da'wah sirriya. Da'wah sirriya, or the da'wah that was secret, or the da'wah that was given secretly. There isn't any evidence that establishes that the period was a 3-year period, anything that is authentic, but you will find it in many of the books of seerah. And many of the mu'arrikhun, or the scholars of ta'rikh and the scholars of history, mention the same affair, that there was a 3-year period of da'wah sirriya. This period then, Ikhwan, was a period wherein the Prophet ﷺ would give da'wah to those who were close to him, those who he trusted, and those who would not make the affair and his affair apparent. So he gave da'wah to those who were close to him, and they gave da'wah to those who were close to them. And indeed, the affair of the da'wah, Ikhwan, occurred and took place over these initial years, as we mentioned, among tribesmen and among relatives and friends and those who were close. From the affairs that are mentioned concerning the initial revelation of the Quran is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would receive the ayat of the Quran and receive the revelation, that he would hasten to copy and to utter the words that were being revealed to him. And naturally, Ikhwan, you could imagine that you, for a period, have been experiencing that which the Prophet ﷺ was experiencing, from true dreams and from the affairs that were strange at the very, or to say the least, in the initial stages, the raq that used to give the Prophet ﷺ salam. As we mentioned previously, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ حَجَرًا بِمَكَّةِ كَانَ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيَّ قَبْلَ الْبِعْثَةِ. That verily, I know a rock in Mecca that used to give me salam before I was sent as a messenger. وَإِنِّي لَأَعْرِفُهُ الْآنِ. And I know the rock right now. So the Prophet ﷺ, Ikhwan, when he was, or prior to him becoming a messenger, he received salam of the inanimate objects. We have the instance wherein the trees and the rocks, they made sajda to him when he travelled with his uncle in the direction of Sham. And other than that, from the affairs indicating clearly that he was the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And so you can imagine when it is clear now to him that he is the messenger of Allah, and it is clear that Allah azza wa jal has sent him and given him wahi and revelation, the responsibility, Ikhwan, that he now recognizes is upon him. He is the messenger of Allah, the messenger that Allah has sent to his creation. And that which he's receiving from the words and from the kalimat are wahi, words that are revelation, the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, the actual speech of our Lord and our Mawla. And I am the only one that is receiving that in the creation, or in and among the creation. A burden, Ikhwan, upon the Messenger of Allah that is heavy. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela. That indeed we shall send upon you a heavy statement. And so the Prophet ﷺ, in the initial stages, when he would receive the wahi and would receive the revelation, he would hasten to mimic Jibra'il and the words that were being said, and he would copy him as the words were being said. And so he wouldn't wait, for example, for the sentence to be complete, but he would mimic him and copy him as the words were being said. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed upon him, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed upon him, don't move your tongue hastily, yani being hasty with it, that is, with its revelation. Concerning the ayah, there is a narration, the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, wherein Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he discusses how the messenger, or what occurred as it relates to the revelation of the verse. Prior to that, we'll mention the statement that Shaykh al-Albani he establishes from the kalam of al-Imam ibn Kathir in his Sahih Sirah Nabawiyyah. After mentioning the verses he mentioned, وَكَانَ هَذَا فِي الْإِبْتِدَاءِ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ حِرْسِهِ إِلَىٰ أَخْذِهِ مِنَ الْمَلَكِ ما يوحى إليه عن الله عز وجل يسابقه في التلاوة. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he mentioned, this was in the beginning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his extreme hirs and ardentness over receiving and reciting that which was given to him by the angel, he would compete with the angel in reciting. That is, as soon as the words would come out, he would copy them before the sentences were finished. فأمره الله تعالى أن ينصت لذلك حتى يفرغ من الوحي. So Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him to be quiet, to remain silent for that until the revelation was finished. وتكفل له أن يجمعه في صدره. And had promised him that he would gather everything that was revealed in his chest. يعني it would make it easy for him to remember it and to gather those words in his chest. He mentions وَأَنْ يُيَسِّرَ عَلَيْهِ تِلَاوَتَهِ وَتَبْلِيغَ, and that he would make it easy for him to recite it and would make it easy for him to convey it. وَأَنْ يُبَيِّنَهُ لَهُ وَيُفَسِّرُهُ وَيُوَضِّحُهُ. He said, and that he would likewise clarify those words to him. He would explain them and make them clear. وَيُقِفُهُ عَلَى الْمُرَادِ مِنْ, and he would cause him to come across the intent behind those words. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُهُ وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, and don't be hasty with the Qur'an before its revelation has been complete to you. And say, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, oh my Lord, increase me in ilm. That, ikhwan, is a benefit. There are numerous benefits from the fawa'id, ikhwan, of that qissa and of the narration, and the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal sent these ayat down upon the messenger initially, when the messenger was being hasty with mimicking that which had come from Jibra'il, is the important, ikhwan, and the great station of as-sabr ala talab al-ilm, of being patient upon seeking knowledge. And not being hasty with ilm. As Imam Zuhri and others have mentioned, whoever seeks knowledge jumla, ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ jumla. Whoever attempts to seek all, يعني, knowledge, يعني the whole or take on knowledge in large amounts, then it leaves him in large amounts. And that then is from the affairs that we benefit from the ayah. When the Messenger of Allah, he attempted hastily to take those verses, and those verses without doubt are from ilm. But Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions, وَلَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَأَجَلَ بِهِ. Don't be hasty in the moving of your tongue and being hasty with it, يعني with its recitation. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. And don't be hasty with the Qur'an. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقْضَى إِلَيْكَ وَهْيُهُ. Before its revelation has come down to us, come to you, and in completion, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. That ayah then was from the earliest of the verses that were revealed upon the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the ayah commanded number one with the affair of being, of having tarayyuth, that is being, yani taking time with knowledge, not being hasty with it. Number two, that one asks Allah and supplicates to Allah Azza wa Jal with an increase in knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And that was an ayah that was given to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the very beginnings, which indicates the importance, أيها الإخوة, of ilm. The importance of seeking knowledge from a person's beginning. Either an individual embraces Islam or an individual returns to tadayyun and practicing the religion. Either or whatever the case may be, the first thing that a person should hasten towards is seeking knowledge. But he should not be hasty in it, talab, and in seeking it. Rather, he should have the tarayyuth and have يعني be timely in his method and his manner of seeking knowledge, and that he takes that over a period, and know that knowledge is not something that will come to you all at once. Rather, it is something that is sought, ikhwan, over a period. The revelation of the Quran was some 23 years. Its completion was over 23 years. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that the reason, or one of the reasons for that, is لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, in order to make your qalb firm upon it, yani that it is established with you. And so it took 23 years for it to be revealed. And so, ikhwan, none of the companions were able to memorize it except in the completion or after the completion of that 23-year period. For it was not revealed in completion until the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And here, the Messenger ﷺ was commanded with asking for an increase in ilm. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, from the beginnings of his risala. Even though Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ, don't be hasty with your tongue, being hasty with it. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned that indeed, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ, that upon us is to gather it, that is to gather it in your chest and to recite it, that is to explain its meanings. وَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ, and when it is recited, then follow its recitation. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ, and then it is upon us to explain it. So Allah Azza wa Jal promised that he would give him ilm, promised that knowledge would be gathered for him, promised that Allah Azza wa Jal would gather it in his breast, but at the same time, he commanded him, وَقُلْ, say, رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, say, O my Lord, increase me in ilm. Say, O my Lord, increase me in ilm. And if that is the case, with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who Allah was revealing the Qur'an to, the one who received revelation, whether it is the Qur'an or the Sunnah, فَمَا بَالُكَ بِأَمْثَالُنَا نَحْنُ, what about us, ikhwan? What about us who are not from the Anbiya wal-Rusul? Don't receive revelation. It is more imperative that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us with ilm and to give us a knowledge of the book and the sunnah. It occurs in the Sahihain, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who mentioned, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعالج من التنزيل شدة فكان يحرك شفتي فأنزل الله لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه. He said that indeed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to find difficulty upon the revelation of the Qur'an, and he would move his lips with its recitation. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed upon him, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به, yani don't move your tongue hastily with it. إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه, indeed upon it is to gather it and to recite it. That is, قال جمعه في صدرك في صدرك ثم تقرأه, that we will gather it in your chest and then you recite it. In some versions of the narration, Ibn Abbas, he used to copy the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he would move his lips, and he demonstrated how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to move his lips in the beginning when the revelation would come to him. As we mentioned, ikhwan, you could imagine the great burden that was upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He now recognizes that he's the Messenger of Allah. He now recognizes that Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen him to reveal the last of his speech too. He now recognizes that that which he receives is the last book from the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can imagine how ardent he was to make sure that he was reciting it as it is to be recited, to make sure that he received it and remembered it as it was to be remembered. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed those verses to him. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, just towards the end of the narration, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ, and when we recite it, then you follow its recitation. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ, and then when we recite it to you, then you follow its recitation. That is, فَاسْتَمِعْ لَهُ وَأَنْصِتْ, that is, listen to it and remain silent. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ, and then it is upon us to explain it. قَالْ فكان إذا أتاه جبريل أطرق، فإذا ذهب قرأه كما وعده الله عز وجل. And so when Jibreel would come, he would remain silent and listen to it, and then he would follow it. After Jibreel had left, he would follow and recite it, just as Allah Azza wa Jal had promised him. And so the revelation, when it first came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the initial ayat that came down, were ayat instructing him concerning how he should be in relation to the revelation itself, how he should digest it, how he should take it on board and memorize it, and that Allah Azza wa Jal promised that he would make it easy for him to remember, easy for him to take on board. And so we discussed in previous weeks the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ikhwan, after he received the ayat, the initial revelation, he began to give da'wah and call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the first of those who he called to was Khadija. And then from the freed men, we had the da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And off the back of the da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, as Ahl al-Ilm mentioned, Abu Bakr and his Islam had within it barakah. For indeed, from off the back of the da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, a number of the greatest of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraced. From them, we had the likes of Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. From them, Abdul Rahman bin Auf. From them, Talha ibn Ubaidillah. From them, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. From them, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And a number, ikhwan, of the great companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were from the athar and the fruits of the da'wah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And he was, without doubt, ikhwan, from the greatest of the companions giving da'wah and calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was still within the initial period when the da'wah was quiet and the da'wah was secret and private. And it was something that was not yet commanded, or he, alayhi salatu wasalam, was not yet commanded to convey that da'wah publicly. Thereafter we had a group of individuals who entered Islam after the initial group. As we mentioned in the beginning, it was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the men, we had Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. From the youth, Ali ibn Abi Talib. From the slaves, Zayd ibn al-Haritha and Bilal radiyallahu anhu. And then we had this initial group of those who embraced Islam. Similarly, from the da'wah of Abu Bakr, Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, who was the companion who lived for some 10 years after the Bi'tha, and who his home, in essence, was the origin or the place that the companions, they would gather in order to hear the revelation and to receive the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teaching. And so Darul Arqam was a reference to the house of Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam. And Darul Arqam was situated, ikhwan, close proximity to Mount Safa. And so Arqam, his home, was very close to Mount Safa, and they would gather and receive the revelation. Similarly, from those who embraced Ammar and his mother, Sumayya, and his father, Kadhalika, we had the likes of Sa'id ibn Zayd and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Some of the scholars, though, differ concerning who was the first or the initial who were the initial individuals that embraced. Was it the Prophet ﷺ and Khadija and Ali, or was it the Prophet ﷺ and Khadija and Abu Bakr? And some differ concerning whether or not Ali radiallahu anhu preceded Abu Bakr, because Ali was from the youth, and there are some narrations that indicate that Abu Bakr himself mentioned that I was the first of those who embraced. Just as there are some narrations that indicate that Ali radiallahu anhu, after Khadija, was the first of those who embraced. And so Ahl al-Ilm mentioned that the first of those who embraced from the women, yani gathering those riwayat, that the first of those who embraced from the women was Khadija. The first of those who embraced from the freedmen was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The first of those who embraced from the youth was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and the first of those who embraced from the slaves and from those who were still considered or were not free and were not considered free men, were bondsmen, was Zayd ibn al-Haritha. And so the initial group from among the companions, Ikhwan, were these small groups, this small group of individuals. As far as their actions in the beginning, then it is established that from the very beginning they would make and perform salah. And that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah in front of the Kaaba, even when salah was not legislated and it was not wajib upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah in front of the Kaaba. In that regard, we have a hadith narrated by Ilyas ibn Ufayth, who narrates from his father Ufayth, who said, وَكَانَ عُفَيْثًا أَخَى الْأَشْعَثِ بْنِ قَيْسِ. He was the brother of Al-Ash'ath ibn Qais, the half-brother of Ash'ath ibn Qais. He said, كُنْتُ مْرِئًا تَاجِرًا فَقَدِمْتُ مِنَا أَيَامَ الْحَجِّ. وَكَانَ الْعَبَّاسِ بْنِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ امْرَأً تَاجِرًا فَأَتَيْتُهُ أَبْتَاعُ مِنْ. He said that I used to be a tradesman. I would enter into tijara and trade. And I went to Mina during the period of Hajj. And Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib was likewise a tradesman. And I went to him in order to buy from him. He said, قال, فَبَيْنَا نَهْنُ إِذْ خَرَجَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ خِبَاء فَقَالَ يُصَلِّي تِجَاهَ الْكَعْبَةِ ثُمَّ خَرَجَتْ إِمْرَأَةِ فقامت تصلي وخرجت وخرج غلام فقام يصلي معه. He said, while we were there, that is while we were in Mecca, a man came and he stood in front of the Kaaba. He said, ثم خرج امرأة, and then a woman came and began to pray يعني with him. وخرج غلام, and then a youth came, a young boy came. فقام يصلي معه, and began to pray with him. قلت يا عباس ما هذا الدين, إن هذا الدين ما أدري ما هو. He said, يا عباس, what is this deen? What is this religion? Because I don't know this religion. He said, فقال هذا محمد بن عبد الله يزعم أن الله أرسله وأن كنوز كسرى وقيصر ستفتح عليه وهذه امرأته خديجة بنت خويلد آمنت به وهذا الغلام ابن عمه علي بن أبي طالب آمن به. He said, this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He claims that Allah has sent him and that the treasures of Kaisar, of Kaisar, of the Caesar and of Kisra, the kings of Persia, that they shall soon be in his hands, he claims. He said, and that this is his wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she has believed in him. And this youth is Ibn Ammihi, is his cousin, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was believed with him similarly. And so, Ufayth, he said, فَلَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ آمَنْتُ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَكُنْتُ أَكُونُ رَابِعًا. He said, if only I had embraced then I would have been the fourth of them. And so he describes the fact, Ikhwan, that in the beginning, from the very beginning, Ali ibn Abi Talib was present alongside the Messenger of Allah, and that they made salah. In a variant narration, Sheikh al-Albani mentions, إذا خرج رجل من خباء قريب من فنظر إلى الشمس فلما رآه قد مالت قام يصلي ثم ذكر قيام خديجة وراءه. He said in this version that a man came out, يعني from almost from hiding. He said he came out and then he looked at the sun. He looked at the sun. And when he saw that it passed its zenith, he began to pray. يعني صلاة الظهر, which indicates, إخوان, that from the beginning they were making salah, even though salah was not wajib upon them. Similarly, we have a variant narration of the hadith of Ufayth, who said, جئت زمن الجاهلية إلى مكة فنزلت على العباس بن عبد المطلب فلما طلعت الشمس حلقت في السماء وأنا أنظر إلى الكعبة. He said that indeed during the period of Jahiliyyah I had traveled to Mecca and I went to see Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. And so when the sun had come out and had risen, he said, I looked towards the sky, وَأَنَا أَنْظُرْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ, while looking towards the Kaaba, I saw a youth, a shab, أقبل. And he referred to him as a shab. It indicates, Ikhwan, that the one who is some 40 years old, is still a shab. أبشر. نعم. He said, فَرَمَى بِبَصَرِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He said, and that shab, he began to look towards the sky. He began to look towards the sky. ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبَلَ الْكَعْبَةِ. And then he turned towards the Kaaba. فَقَامَ مُسْتَقْبِلَهَا فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ حَتَّى جَاءَ غُلَامٌ فَقَامَ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ فَلَمْ يَلْبَثْ حَتَّى جَاءَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ فَقَامَتْ خَلْفَهُمَا. He said that while he was there looking at the sky and looking at the sun, he turned towards the Kaaba. He said, فَقَامَ مُسْتَقْبِلَهَا. And so he turned facing the Kaaba and he remained in that place, or he remained there for a period, and then a young boy came and stood to his right. He said, and he did not remain, or they did not remain for a long period, except that a woman came and stood behind the two of them. Which indicates, Ikhwan, again, that the formation, as it relates to Salah, that the men stand in front of the women and the youth stand beside the men, that was from the very beginning. Here we have the Messenger of Allah standing beside Ali ibn Abi Talib, or with Ali beside him, and with the wife of the Messenger of Allah, Khadija, standing behind them. He mentioned, فَرَكَعَ الشَّاب فَرَكَعَ الْغُلَامُ وَالْمَرْأَةُ. So the shab, he made ruku' and the youth and the woman made ruku' with him. فَرَفَعَ الشَّاب فَرَفَعَ الْغُلَامُ وَالْمَرْأَةُ. And so he raised, يعني from ruku' and that youth and the mar'ah, the woman raised with him. فَخَرَّ الشَّابُ سَاجِدًا فَسَجَدَا مَعَهُ. And so he went down into prostration and the two of them went down into prostration with him. فقلت يا عباس أمر عظيم. He said, so I said, Abbas, this is something tremendous. فقال أمر عظيم. He said, something tremendous. He said, أتدري ما هذا? He said, do you know what this is? فقلت لا. So I said, no. فقال هذا محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب ابن أخي. أتدري من الغلام? He said, do you know who this is? This is محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب. He is the son of my brother. He said, and do you know who the youth is? And so he said, no. He said, هذا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. And he said, and do you know who this woman is behind the two of them? And so I said, no. He said, هذه خديجة بنت خويلد زوجة ابن أخي. He said, this is خديجة بنت خويلد, the wife of my nephew. He said, وهذا حدثني أن ربك رب السماء والأرض أمره بهذا الذي تراهم علي. He said, and he's informed me that our Lord of the heavens and the earth has commanded him with this that you see them performing. He said, وأيم الله ما أعلم على ظهر الأرض كلها أحد على هذا الدين غير هؤلاء الثلاثة. He said, and by Allah, I do not know anybody upon this religion of theirs other than these three. Again, Ikhwan, indicating that at that stage, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ali and Khadija, they were the first and the earliest of the believers. And one final narration that we'll mention before Salah, upon the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, who said, بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الاثنين وصلى علي يوم الثلاثاء. He said that indeed the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent يوم الاثنين. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent on a Monday. And Ali رضي الله عنه prayed with him on Tuesday. Which indicates again that Ali رضي الله عنه was from the initial individuals who embraced and entered into Islam alongside Khadija رضي الله عنها and the earliest of those who had embraced. نعم إخوانا, we ran upon that note. والله تعالى أعلم, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. And perhaps إخوان, for some 15 minutes or so we'll continue after الصلاة. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. So this initial stage, إخوان, as occurs in these narrations, Sheikh Al-Albani authenticates all of these narrations, إخوان. They were taken and collected by Ibn Ishaq and Al-Imam Sheikh Al-Albani رحمه الله تعالى declares all of them authentic. And what they indicate is the fact that in the very beginning, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani there were just a handful of people who believed alongside with him. In relation to the affair of the iman of the earliest of the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, there are other narrations that indicate the earliest of the companions. From them, the hadith that is established in Bukhari upon the authority of Ammar ibn Yasir, who said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما معه إلا خمسة أعبد أو إلا خمسة أعبد وامرأتان وأبو بكر أعبد وامرأتان وأبو بكر. He said that indeed I saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was no one alongside him other than five. He mentions two slaves, two women, and Abu Bakr. Two slaves, two women, and Abu Bakr. And the following narration brings clarity to the indication concerning the second woman, and that is a narration that was collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, likewise Al-Imam Ibn Majah, and Shaykh Al-Albani declares it authentic upon the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as it relates to the first of those who made Islam manifest. He said, أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَظْهَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ سَبْعَةً رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبو بكر وعمار وأمه سمية وصهيب وبلال والمقداد. He said the first of those who made Islam apparent was seven. And they were the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, أبو بكر, عمار, his mother, سمية, صهيب, Bilal and Al-Miqdad. Though it mentioned seven, of course, Ikhwan, we have some of those who are present in the first narration, present in this narration. One of the slaves was Bilal, and one of the women were Sumayya. And we have the mention of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. This narration mentions the first of those who made Islam apparent. And as we discussed earlier, the initial period, Ikhwan, of the da'wah was what is known as the da'wah sirriya, or the da'wah was private, or it was secret. And that is that the Prophet ﷺ would give da'wah to those who were close to him, those who were in near proximity to him, relatives, friends, and family members, and would call them and give them da'wah. But then Allah Azza wa Jal, after that period of da'wah sirriya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make the da'wah apparent. And that was the initial period or the beginning of the persecution and of the difficulties that arose after the da'wah became apparent. Because what is clear, ikhwan, is that no one was persecuted before the da'wah became apparent. But after the Messenger was commanded to make the da'wah apparent, then we had the beginnings of the persecution of the earlier believers. In regard to that, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the revelation of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and warn the closest of your ashira, the closest of your relatives, the ones who are near to you. And so when that was revealed, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the messenger with that to make the da'wah apparent. Whether it was 3 years or a longer or shorter period of da'wah sirriya, then the revelation of this verse or the beginnings of the da'wah, that was known as the da'wah jahriya, or that the da'wah was made apparent. A point to mention about the da'wah sirriya is that it is not permissible, ikhwan, for anyone to claim, as we hear and we see some of the jama'at al-hizbiya, that they use this period of da'wah sirriya claiming, while they exist in a dawla islamiyya, claiming that the Messenger ﷺ started his da'wah in this secret manner, and so we too must begin, yarhamukallah, our da'wah in this secret manner. And that, ikhwan, is a da'wah that is batila. That is batil, for we have these groups and parties having da'wah sirriya, secret da'wah in a dawla islamiyya, a dawla and a land that is governed by Muslimun. A land, ikhwan, wherein the believers exist and dwell. And there is nothing to be feared from persecution and from them being fought against and killed on the basis of them making their deen apparent. And so Ahlul Ilm mentioned that it is batil to attempt to utilize the da'wah sirriya that occurred in the beginning of Islam and to make an analogy for anyone that lives within a dawla islamiyya. For indeed, the Sharia and the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is complete, and that no doubt was an affair that occurred on the basis of the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that commanded them with that. And of course they feared, ikhwan, the persecution of the mushrikun, and that the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal would possibly disappear, and the believers who carried the Deen would be harmed and possibly killed in the initial stages of Islam. And that is not a fear after the establishment of the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so, for an individual to start a group and a party, and that group is founded within a dawla islamiyya, within an Islamic country, and that dawla islamiyya has a hakim and a ruler and a judge, and then they use this as an evidence, and that is a claim, ikhwan, that is batil. Allah then Azza wa Jal, he commanded the Prophet ﷺ to make the da'wah apparent, and the da'wah was to be made apparent there and after. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ سَعَدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى الصَّفَى فَجَعَلَ يُنَادِي يَا بَنِي فِهِرْ يَا بَنِي عَدِيٍّ لبطون قريش حتى اجتمعوا فجعل الرجل إذا لم يستطع أن يخرج أرسل رسولا لينظر ما هو فجاء أبو لهب وقريش. He mentioned that indeed when the Messenger ﷺ had revealed upon him the verse وأنذر عشيرتك الأقربين and warn عشيرتك الأقربين, warn your close relatives, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hastened, ikhwan, to carry out the ayah and to fulfill that which Allah azza wa jalla commanded him with. And so he rose and ascended upon Mount Safa, and he began to call, O Bani Fihr, O Bani Adi. Bani Fihr, Bani Adi, these were subsections of the tribe of Quraysh. They were known as the Batan, a Batan from the Butun of Quraysh, yani subsections from the various subsections of the tribe of Quraysh. He said, until they were gathered to him. And so he began or any individual that was not able to attend, then he sent a messenger in order to see what it was. And so Abu Lahab and Quraysh, they came and they said, after they gathered, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْلًا بِالْوَادِي تُرِيدُ أَن تَغِيرَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَكُنْتُمْ تُصَدِّقِيَ. He said, if I were to inform you of the fact that there was a caravan and a riding party that had come, yani a group that had come from military expedition to fight against you, would you believe me? And so they said, Naam. مَا جَرَبْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا. They said, Naam, we don't know from you except truth. قَالْ فَإِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, therefore, if that is the case, I am a warner to you before the coming of a severe punishment. Bear in mind, Ikhwan, that we have here groups from among the groups of Quraysh. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't just rise on the mountain and make a quick call. Rather, he gathered them and he waited for them to gather before him. And as the narration, as Ibn Abbas informs us in the narration, that those who couldn't attend, they would send a messenger, which indicates that there was a gathering that was taking place, that the people had gathered before the Messenger ﷺ. Those who couldn't attend would send an individual to go and see what it is Muhammad is calling us for. And so he said, Ya Banu Fir, Ya Bani Adi, gathered all of the various tribes and subsections of Quraysh before him. Not without doubt, Ikhwan, requires some courage. Many of us are not even, don't even have the courage, Ikhwan, to speak to our mothers and our fathers, to speak to our elder brothers and our elder sisters. Find it difficult. Here the Messenger of Allah, he gathered the whole of the tribe and its subsections. And he stood on a mountain, in one of the highest plains in the area that they would gather within, gathered them before him, and then said, if I were to inform you of the fact that an army was going to come in order to fight against you, would you believe me? Bearing in mind likewise, this was the initial stage of Islam. And so it wasn't that they were acquainted with Muslim preachers, mathalan, or people who were calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, mathalan. And so they would know or they were acquainted that this is another preacher from the various preachers that exist. Allah. This was to them something brand new. And the Messenger of Allah knew that he would be despised because of it. He knew that they would dispraise him, that they would speak ill of him, that they would begin to say that he is Majnoon and so on. Just as if one of us were to stand in the middle of the city center and were to make a call that was new, alien to the people of this city. Inevitably, we know that individuals, Ikhwan, are going to speak ill of us. We're going to be, yani, people will chant, make chants against us and what have you. If we stood in the middle of the city center, called the people, made an announcement, waited for the people to gather, and then made this statement, that if I were to tell you that an army was coming to fight against us, would you believe me? And so they said, yes, O Muhammad. We don't know anything but khair, but truth from you. And so then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, carrying out that which Allah azza wa jalla had commanded him, he said that indeed, I inform you of the fact that I am a warner before the coming of a severe punishment. And so when he made that statement, Abu Lahab, as Ibn Abbas informs us, he said, تَبَّنْ لَكَ سَائِرِ الْيَوْمِ أَلِهَذَا جَمْعَتَنَا. He said, maybe you be cursed for the rest of the day. You gathered us for this? And this big announcement and this big call was for this? May you be cursed for the rest of the day. And so when he made that statement and he indicated with his hands, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. May the hands of Abu Lahab be cursed. May they be cursed. Or cursed be the hands of Abu Lahab. May they be cursed. He mentions So Allah Azza wa Jal nazalat, tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab, ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab, al-masad. And so the ayah and these verses, ikhwan, they were revealed upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this incident. He continues, ثُمَّ شَمَّرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ سَادَيْهِ وَأَلْقَى النَّوْمَ وَالرَّاحَةَ وَرَأَى ظَهْرِي وَأَخَذَ يَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى دِينِ رَبِّهِ فَهُوَ لَا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُضِيعَ لَحْظَةً وَاحِدَةً فِي غَيْرِ الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The narration mentions that indeed the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم then he concentrated upon giving da'wah, and he abandoned sleep and rest, and he took to calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the deen of Allah azza wa jal, and he wasted no time in doing so. Concerning that, we similarly have then that after that period and after that initial warning, the affairs became severe. The climate for the believers changed. Na'am, from them were those who were believers for a fair period. If it is established that they gave da'wah or they were given da'wah for that 3-year period, then from them were those who were believers for some 3 years. But then the affair, ikhwan, it began to become shadeed. And of course, the first of those who were persecuted by Quraysh and by the tribe of Quraysh, when they saw that individuals were entering into the deen and that people were changing and abandoning the deen of the mushrikeen and the deen of shirk, from the first ikhwan of those who were persecuted was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. In that regard, we have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, بينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي عند البيت وأبو جهل وأصحاب له جلوس وقد نهرت جزورا بالأمس فقال أبو جهل أيكم يقوم إلى سلى جزور بني فلان فيأخذه فيدعه على كتفه أو على كتف محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سجد. After the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم made that announcement, then from them, as occurs in this hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to pray in front of the Kaaba. When he would make salah, he would pray in front of the Kaaba. On an occasion, Abu Jahl, he said to some of his companions while they were sitting, after they had recently slaughtered a number of animals, Abu Jahl, he said, who will take the intestines of the animals of Bani such and such and place them upon the back of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his shoulders when he makes sajda? He said, and so the most foolish from among them took those intestines. And when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sajda, wada'ahu bayna katifayhi, placed them on his shoulders. And so the people began to laugh. فَاسْتَدْحَكُوا وَجَعَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ يَمِيلُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. They began to laugh and they began to lean upon each other with laughter. He said, وَأَنَا قَائِمٌ أَنْظُرْ, and I was standing looking. وَلَوْ كَانَتْ لِي مَنْعَ طَرَحْتُهُ عَنْ ظَهَرِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, I was standing looking, and if I was able to prevent them, then I would remove that from the back of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Wa Nabiyyu sajid," and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to prostrate. "Ma yarfa'u ra'sah," and he did not raise his head. "Hatta intalaqa insanun fa akhbara Fatima fa ja'at wa hiya Juwayriya fa tarahathu an." And then someone informed Fatima, and she came, and she was a young girl, and she removed them from his back. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ تَشْتِمُهُمْ, and then she turned to them and began to curse them. فَلَمَّا قَضَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَاتَهُ رفع صوته ثم دعا عليهم. When the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he finished his salah, he raised his voice and he began to make dua against them. وكان إذا دعا دعا ثلاثا. And when he would make dua, he would make dua three times. وإذا سأل سأل ثلاثا. And when he would ask three times. And so he said, اللهم عليك بقريش, اللهم عليك بقريش, اللهم عليك بقريش ثلاث مرات. He said, oh Allah, deal with Quraysh. Oh Allah, deal with Quraysh. Oh Allah, deal with Quraysh. فلما سمعوا صوته ذهب عنهم الضحك. When they heard his voice and what he said, ضحك and the laughter left them. And that is because of the fact, Ikhwan, that Quraysh held that anyone who made dua in front of the Kaaba, then his dua would be heard and his dua would be responded to. So they stopped laughing. وَخَافُوا دَعْوَتَهُ ثُمَّ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَيْكَ بِأَبِي جَهَلِ بْنِ هِشَامِ وَعُتْبَ إِبْنِ رَبِيعَةِ وَشَيْبَ إِبْنِ رَبِيعَةِ وَالْوَلِيدِ إِبْنِ عُقْبَةِ وَأُمَيَّ إِبْنِ خَلْفِ وَعُقْبَ إِبْنِ أَبِي مُعِيطِ وذكر السابع ولم أحفظ. He said, and then he said, oh Allah, deal with Abi Jahl ibn Hisham and Uqba ibn Rabi'a and Shayba ibn Rabi'a and Al-Walid ibn Uqba and Umayyah ibn Khalf and Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt and Ibn Mas'ud. He said, he mentioned the seventh and I don't remember who he was. He said, فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ لقد رأيت الذين سمى صرعى يوم البدر ثم سحبوا إلى القليب قليب أو إلى القليب قليب بدر. قال أبو إسحاق الوليد من عقبة غلط في هذا الحديث. He said that by Allah I saw all of them, each and every one of them, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated against, I saw each and every one of them dead on the battlefield on the day of Badr. I saw each and every one of the ones that he supplicated against, I saw them dead. Similarly, from the affairs that took place from the persecution of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Urwa ibn Zubayr, who mentioned, سألت ابن عمرو بن العاص أخبرني بأشد شيء صنعه المشركون بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I said to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, inform me of the worst thing that the mushrikun did to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so he said, بينما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي في حجر الكعبة إذ أقبل عقبة ابن أبي معيط فوضع ثوبه في عنقه فخنقه خنقا شديدا. He said, verily the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, on an occasion he was praying in front of the Kaaba. He said, when عقبة ابن أبي معيط came and he grabbed the thobe of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and began to strangle him severely with the ends of his garment. He says, so Abu Bakr, he came حتى أخذ بمنكبه ودفعه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so Abu Bakr came and pushed him off the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said, أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله. He said, will you kill a man because of the fact that he says my Lord is Allah? Similarly, Ikhwan, we have the hadith, and that narration was collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. We likewise have the hadith of Abi Huraira, radiallahu anhu, who mentioned, قال أبو جهل هل يؤثر محمد وجهه بين أظهركم؟ قال فقيل نعم فقال واللات والعزى يمينا يحلف بها لئن رأيته يفعل ذلك لأطأن على رقبه رقبته وأفئرن وجهه في التراب. He said, is there any one of you, that is Abu Hurairah, he mentioned that Abu Jahl, he said on an occasion, is there any one of you that finds the face of Muhammad despicable when he's before you? And so they said, Na'am. And so he said, will you not then, or who then, will push his face into the dirt when he makes, or when he goes, or when he establishes the prayer? He said, indeed, I shall push his face into the dirt when I see him. فَأَتَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي. He said, and so he came to the Messenger while he was praying. And so he took the messenger, or held the messenger, took him by his neck, or attempted to take him by his neck. He said, فَمَا فَجِئَهُمْ مِنْهُ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَنْقُصُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبِهِ. He said, and no sooner did he attempt to do so, except that he began to walk back on his heels. He said, وَيَتَّقِي بِيَدَيْهِ, and he was protecting and guarding his face. فَقَالَ قِيلَ لَهُ مَا لَكَ, and so it was said to him, what is wrong with you? And so he responded, إِنَّ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ لَخَنْدَقًا مِنْ نَارٍ وَهَؤُلَاء وَأَجْنِهَةً. He said, indeed, between me and him, there is a trench of fire, and these individuals and their wings. He said, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَوْ دَنَا مِنِّي لَأَخْتَطَفَهُ أَوْ لَأَخْتَطَفَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عُدْوًا عُدْوًا. He said that indeed, if he were to come near to me, then the angels would have split him limb from limb. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he made a statement to Ikhwan that establishes, as occurs in that authentic narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that was declared sahih by Sheikh Nasir in his silsila. He said, لَقَدْ أُوذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا أُوذِيَ أَحَدٌ وَأُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُخَافُ أَحَدٌ. He said, indeed, I was harmed in the way of Allah when no one was being persecuted. And I had fear instilled in me in the way of Allah when no one was filled with fear. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ikhwan, was the first of those who were persecuted in the way of Allah azza wa jal. But that which followed from the persecution that the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam received, indeed, ikhwan, there are narrations that will bring tears to the eyes of the believer, and we'll look into some of those narrations in next week's session, bi-ithnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Now, next week is the conference, so it'll be the following week, inshallah, the following week. Allahu a'lam, not that I know of, wallahi, not that I know of, but we research it. لا من رواية من من مراسيل الصحابة that there are numerous narrations that are narrated by the companions, even though they weren't actually present, but they're from the marasil of the Sahaba, in that the Sahaba informed other individuals from among them. We return back to the narration. The narration in and of itself is muttafaqun alayh, collected by both Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Naturally you would have to study the rest of the isnad to get a full picture of the riwayah. But it occurs often that the Sahaba, they would narrate one from another, and then the riwayat of the Sahaba, there isn't any issue. Yani, as long as we know that the Sahaba, of the Sahabi, he received that narration from another Sahabi. So it is possible that a Sahabi narrates an incident that he didn't witness, but he received khabar of the narration from another companion. Arqam passed away in Mecca, and so towards the tail end of the period of persecution, and so he went through the period of the full period of the years in Mecca and the years of persecution in Mecca. Now, he passed away before the Hijrah. But Dar al-Arqam, ikhwan, is a region or is a place that is the location of Dar al-Arqam. It has been removed, but it is known to this very day, ikhwan, in Mecca. It is very close to Mount Safa, and I believe there are some offices in the area now. Just as is the case with the house of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they placed the library in the area of the house, and that was so that those regions, ikhwan, people would not go into transgression as it relates to those regions. Oftentimes people of innovation and bid'ah, when they learn of this being the location, mathalan, of the house of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they begin, ikhwan, to commit acts that are not only acts of innovation, ikhwan, but on occasions acts of shirk those areas that are athar and remains of the houses of the companions, the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which is known from the study of the seerah to be an area wherein something took place. And so you'll find, ikhwan, in order to preserve the affair of tawheed, the hukam and the rulers of the Mamlaka al-Arabiya Saudiya, jazahumullahu khayra, just as Umar radiallahu anhu had the tree that the Bay'at al-Aqaba and that the oath took place under, he had it cut down because of the fact that the people went into extremes as it relates to the tree. Similarly, the hukam who are upon tawheed, then they carry out that which is similar in relation to those places, ikhwan, that the people have fallen into bid'ah and possibly shirk in relation to. And so the dar of of Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam was known as Dar al-Arqam, and it is a term that you'll find the people of Hizbiyah using. So up until very relatively recently, Muhammad Surur Zain al-Abidin, who has his main office in Fulham, Shismo Al-Muntada, they had a branch here in Birmingham, and Hizbiyun, they had a branch here in Birmingham, and the branch that is in Birmingham was on Langley Road now, and they would refer to it as Darul Arqam. Dar al-Arqam. Why? Because of this da'wah sirriya, because we have to be careful about what we say, and so on. Just as the Prophet ﷺ in the initial stages had to be careful, we likewise have to be careful. And so they utilize this affair, not afraid to make it known that our da'wah is upon this sirriya, and this secrecy in giving da'wah. And that, no doubt, ikhwan, after the establishment of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, is not something that we mimic and not something that we take on board as a part of our da'wah. Our da'wah, ikhwan, is manifest, is zahir, and there is no sirriya in the da'wah of Ahlul Sunnah, bihamdillah. Of course, there remains the affair of al-mudarat and of managing situations. Situations that may be harmful and may cause difficulty or may cause loss of life and limb. Of course, ikhwan, the people of knowledge would not advocate that a person puts himself in harm's way and causes life to be taken. But as far as the da'wah being established upon sirriya and in secrecy, then the salaf of this ummah, ikhwan, they used to mention that when you see a people conspiring or dealing with an issue from the affairs of the deen in private and in secret, then know that they are opening upon themselves a door of misguidance. And so our da'wah is one that is zahir, and the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. They will never cease to be a ta'ifa and a group from among this ummah, ظاهرين, manifest upon the truth. لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. That they will not be harmed by those who oppose them or forsake them until the affair of Allah Azza wa Jal comes and they remain upon that. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى وفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.